under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. I'd like to turn the time over for roll call to Andrea.
Thank you and good evening. Commissioner Wilson.
Here.
Commissioner Winter.
Here.
Commissioner Solu.
Here.
Commissioner House.
Here.
Commissioner Munoz.
Here.
Chairperson Smith.
Here. Thank you. On to public comment period. Members of the audience wishing to address the commission on any matters other than public hearing items may do so at this time. Comments are generally limited to 3 minutes.
Is this the time to give public comment on city fees, or would that be later on?
Later.
Later, I'm sorry. Okay. No one else? Okay, then we will close public comment period if there's no one else. There's no actions in regarding to public comments. Moving along, next item. I will entertain a motion to approve the... Well, is there any discussion on the minutes from November 10th meetings? Any questions, comments? If not, I'll entertain a motion to accept it. Johnny, do we have a second?
Second.
That was like Joby. That was two.
Who was the second?
Stan.
Okay. Stan. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. I'd like to turn the time over to Andrea again for announcements.
I do have a number of announcements this evening, Commissioners. A couple things I want to bring to your attention. First of all, just curious, we are now sending our agendas by email and our staff reports by email. Did that work fairly well?
Very
for everybody?
Well. Yeah, worked out very nice.
Okay. If there's any problems or things aren't coming through, I know this evening we're probably going to skip a couple of the participation reports because we had some strange things happen on a few of those. I know you didn't get one, and the other one looks very odd, like we had nothing going on in October. So those are a few glitches on our side, but make sure to keep us posted on that, and we're happy that you're okay with us emailing the agendas and the staff reports. That really helps out. I just wanted to remind you, and unfortunately I don't have the exact commissioners' numbers, but we do, I think we're coming up with two vacancies on our board. In addition, we've been carrying one vacancy, so it looks like we'll have three people up for renewal. I believe the City Council at their meeting on Monday night is going to determine the date for interviews, but just keep that in mind for those of you that maybe your term might be expiring. Think about re-upping, and certainly we're looking, we need at least one new member, so please make that announcement to thank is on the night preceding the tree lighting, we generally had a light a boat parade, and we still did this last weekend. The Chamber of Commerce took the reins of the light a boat parade, and I think they did a fantastic job. It was the first time for that event for that chamber, and they did a fine job, so we appreciate that. It was very difficult for our department to not be involved in those activities this year and not handle them, but thanks to the community and the support that we got from the community, those things still happened in Morro Bay, and we're very happy about that. I wanted to bring your attention to a date coming up, February 25th. It seems like a long time away. It's a Saturday, but that's the date for the annual Commissioner's Workshop. And again, State Parks is going to host the workshop. This year we'll either be going to Piedras Blancas Lighthouse or the Hearst Ranch facility. It should be a fantastic day. It's probably going to be a 9-to-2 type event. A couple of things we're going to be talking about is facility, managing new facilities. And I would really encourage all the commissioners to plan on attending. Again, the date's February 25th. We'll be bringing you more information as it becomes closer, but it should be a great day. And let's see, two more things. We are embarking, for the last 12 years or so, we've had a registration system, a computer registration system, and believe it or not, the support now for that registration system is no longer available, so we're forced to go to a new registration system. We're excited to let the community as well as the commissioners know that people now will be, well, eventually, in a couple of months, will be able to register online for programs and classes, and that's kind of exciting. We feel like we're on the cutting edge. I know it's happened in some direct departments for quite some time. So that will be interesting. It's probably going to be up and running probably in March or April in time for our summer season. So we're excited about that, and we'll bring you more information as that becomes available. And last but not least, don't forget that starting in January, we will begin our commission meetings at 5 p.m., and I think we're going to hold our public hearings back till 5:30. So that'll be something to look forward to as well. I think that's my announcements. I'm happy to answer questions if you have them.
Any questions for Andrea?
No. No.
Okay, thank you, Andrea. Moving along, item A, new business, there is none. Going to unfinished business, we have B1 Recreation and Parks Department status report, and I turn the time back over to Andrea.
To run through quickly some things that are going on in the department, and I want to make a correction. We've got our teen center currently. I've got the winter break hours for the teen center, and the teen center will not be open during the winter break. We'll be closing, I believe, on December 23rd and stay closed for those 2 weeks, and that's purely a result of funding issues. So that correction on my status report. The skate park, however, will be open, and will be open at the skate park 12 to 5 Monday through Saturday, with the exception of December 24th and December 31st, which are both Saturdays. We have received reimbursement of $178,000 from the Roberti Zeeberg-Harris Urban Open Space and Recreation Grant Program. That's for the Rock Restroom, so that project is officially closed out, and we're happy about that. I am pleased to tell you that we were informed last week that we received a $238,000 grant from the same group, the Roberti Zeeberg-Harris, for the Del Mar Tennis Court project. We have not at all at this point looked at calendaring issues or when we're going to be starting on that project. We haven't gotten the contract yet, but once that arrives, we'll be looking at that project. We have the most recent printout from the Cloisters Assessment District. I actually handed that out, so it wasn't in your packet. We don't really have anything particular to note on that. We're about 33% of the year spent, and at this point we're doing fine in terms of the budget. Nothing, again, in particular to mention on that printout, but it's there for your information. We are making some headway, I believe, on our staffing in our youth services division. Our kids club program is staffed is staffed appropriately. Our skate park is doing well. We're still looking for staff at the teen center. Overall, things are looking a little bit better, though. I'm happy to tell you that by December 19th, and we've been pushing this date out, I believe our Tides web guide will be available. As you recall, the Tides was the elimination of the Tides, or the funding of the Tides was eliminated from our budget, and we've been working on a web guide. It's almost complete, and you'll be finding that on the city's website. And then probably in January or February, we'll be bringing back to you a report on how we think our participation and our registration is based on the elimination of that Tide, and if we feel like there's been an impact or not. So we're happy about that. We're almost done with our solar panel project. The panels have been up for quite some time. You saw some printouts last month from the solar energy that we're generating, and we have finally confirmed the final display for our lobby. APCD has confirmed the design, and now it's in construction. It should be delivered sometime mid to late January. Once that's complete, we would anticipate some groups coming in, school groups perhaps, to look at what solar energy is doing, what we're generating. We're fairly disappointed that the YMCA and the City of San Luis chose to distribute flyers for their youth basketball program in Los Osos, which is traditionally, for the last 30-plus years, been an area where we have distributed flyers. Interestingly enough, though, we did contact them, and they only have approximately 20 children from the Los Osos area that are participating, so it certainly doesn't speak to our reduction. We raised our price approximately $15 per child, which may be part of it, but it may also be a program life cycle, so we're looking at those types of situations, and we'll continue to ask questions and as to why parents didn't sign up their children. We still have approximately 180 children that have signed up that will be starting our program. Games start in January, so we'll continue on with that. The item you approved, new parking lot lights at Kaiser Park using park in lieu funds, and we're taking that item to the City Council for approval on Monday night, and we're hoping for approval on that. Commissioner House had asked about the status of the Morrow Elementary School site a couple of meetings ago, and I did talk to Russell Miller, the Assistant Superintendent of Business at San Luis Coastal Unified School District, and he indicated that the school currently has three sites that are no longer school sites: Pacheco, Sunnyside, and Morrow Elementary. They entered into, on all three sites, lease agreements with organizations for a five-year time period, and he thought that most of those lease agreements would be expiring in 2007 or 2008. At that point, or slightly before that point, he indicated that they'll examine a couple of different options for the school site. One is reopening, which is probably not going to happen based on our participation in schools. One is selling, and then he said they're looking at other directions too. He did indicate that they will probably, as they did with when they closed the site, convene community groups in each community to look at possibilities for the use of the school sites. He indicated that they are restricted on use of the money if the property is sold, and I didn't go into depth on that conversation. But that's the information I indicated to Mr. Miller that we were very interested in when those discussions came up, to be informed of those, since it's our next-door neighbor. A couple of other things. Due to our budget situation, we have currently suspended our memorial bench program. We put it in memorial benches in parks. And at this point, because of the maintenance issues on benches that are put in, we're holding back on putting any new benches in. I don't see it as a huge issue, but we are letting people know that if they contact our department. And last but not least, we will be starting the annual renovation of the community center. That occurs the last 2 weeks of December. We're generally closed. Our offices are open. We're still upstairs, but the downstairs area here is closed for renovation, and classes are either moved or canceled, for the most part canceled. I think that concludes my status report. I'm happy to answer questions if you have them.
Any questions? Dan?
Yes, Levi, I'm sorry.
I'd like to ask a question about the entrance sculpture. I thought I saw water running down the face one day at least. What's happening with that?
You did, and the plan is to have water on a regular basis. There's some electrical issues that are they're dealing with right now, and some pump issues. As well, they're looking at maybe a little bit of different landscaping. So you might have also seen lights on the Roth, because during the, I believe, at least Saturday night and maybe Sunday night, they temporarily backlit the Rock for the people that came in for the light boat parade. So those things are happening. The water might be sporadic because of some issues with the pumps, though.
Yes, Joan.
I'm wondering if when you pass out the flyers like you did for the youth basketball, if you put at the bottom that scholarships are available. I'm not sure if you do already, but if you don't, it might encourage people who are reluctant parents based on financial situations to go ahead and inquire.
That's an excellent idea, and we have occasionally, but I don't think they're currently on the flyers, and it's a great idea. In fact, we might even put the amount of scholarships available so it entices people.
Yeah, especially if we have extra money like that.
I had a couple of questions. Andrea, the $178,000 that comes back for the restroom, the Rock?
Yes.
Does that go into the general fund, or does that go into the Rexham Park budget?
No, it's general fund. It's money that's already been spent, basically.
Okay, and on another subject, the Morrow Elementary
yes.
site. Now, I remembered you telling me when the school closed down that they had 3 to 5 years to operate as a school again, or the city got the right of first refusal on the property.
My understanding is they have 5 years. They can enter into lease agreements for 5 years, and then after 5 years, they need to do something. And whether it's offer it to
we're doing or it's just a natural phenomenon.
Any other questions? Do we need to accept this file?
Yes, you do.
Okay.
So move.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Andrea, how long is your Citizens for Sports correspondence? I'm just concerned about starting public hearing items before 6:30.
I think we're okay.
Okay. Then I'd like to move on to the next item, Citizens Reports and Correspondence. Turn the time over to Andrea.
Thank you. I've only got one citizen report, and it was passed out to you at your desk. And basically it concerns a situation where we had some faulty sprinklers at the community center. We had a citizen report those, and as a result went through and repaired and cleaned up 16 broken or not functioning sprinklers or sprinkler heads. That was gone. We went ahead and took care of that, and that's the only one that we have.
Thank you. Yeah. Can we? Thank you, Johnny. Can we?
Motion to accept.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. I would like to accept a motion to move item to move public hearing item up now.
So move.
Can we? We can do that.
You can do that.
Okay.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. On to public hearing item, section E1, City of Morro Bay Special Events Policy. I think the best way to work this that we've done before is, Andrew, you've given a summary of the event, then we open it up to public discussion from the audience, then bring it back to the commissioners?
Correct.
Okay. So I would like to turn the time over to you first then.
Thank you, and I'm just going to do a brief report and maybe just hit on the high points of the special event policy. It's certainly in your packets, and we've gone over this. As the commission is aware, we've discussed this at the last two commission meetings, and at the last meeting you asked staff to distribute this to the groups in Morro Bay that it probably would affect. We went ahead and did that, sent a draft copy, and it looks like some of those groups are here, which is great. I wanted to just briefly go over the policy and what it contains. Basically, we have in our draft policy a definition of special events, and basically we're looking at the larger events that happen in the city that require additional city services beyond recreation and parks, things like police, fire, harbor, those types of things. We have two types of special events, or two types of events that we're really talking about. The first is a public area use permit, and that's an event, or we're looking at that as is an event that is, or excuse me, poof. That's a permit that's going to be used for reservations that are contained within a public park. So if you're having a large barbecue in City Park or Tidelands Park, that's going to be a public area use permit as it is now, and you'll run through the normal fees and that sort of thing as you do now. There are no changes to our public area use permit. So the small groups that are doing something in our parks that are contained within a park that don't require additional city services, there will be no changes. And those are running fairly well as we speak. What we generally are looking at are public area use permits, are permits where the cost of city services, so the permit fees as well as any additional fees that might happen with those permits are generally well under $1,000. The next type of event that we're looking at is what we're really addressing with this entire policy is something called or renaming a special event. And that's basically going to be used for events that are one day or more in length and require additional city services, police, fire, harbor. We're anticipating that the cost for the city services for these type of events, so the police costs and the fire costs, will probably exceed $1,000. You're talking about things like the July 4th event, the Harbor Festival event, things that are that cost in terms of other city departments. What we're looking at setting up with this special event policy is some general policies that are in writing that we can provide to the applicant so they're very clear on what we need to do in order to process the permit. We have a procedure now, and I think that where it's falling apart is that we have our policies aren't written down. They're oftentimes put in a letter to the applicant, but here they're going to be general. Everyone's going to get the same policies, and it will be very clear. The things that we're looking at this point for permit applicants is asking for them to be submitted at least 90 days in advance of the event no more than 1 year in advance. Some of the specific things that we need for the special event policy is liability insurance, and we have specifications that we attach. We are looking for an event site map. And we talked about this a little bit in our last commission meeting, things that we're looking for on the site map. What happens is that the clearer the applicant can be with what they're going to do and where they're going to do it, the more closely city department heads can put conditions of approval on the event that are appropriate. Knows that the event is not confirmed until the special event permit is issued. The procedure that we're looking for the special event policy is actually something that we're currently doing now. Again, we're putting it in writing so it's very clear. The completed permit application is submitted to the Recreation and Parks Department. At that point, the permit is distributed to each department head, and they put conditions of approval on the permit. Those conditions come back to the Recreation and Parks Department, where we generate a letter to the applicant that gives them the list of conditions for their permit approval. We also indicate to the applicant that we are happy to sit down with them in a roundtable situation with the department heads that are affected, or the departments that are affected, to talk about possibilities of explain the conditions of approval if they need explanation, find ways to perhaps save the applicant money and not use city services but use some other volunteer service or substitute services. We go ahead and go through that and finally firm up the conditions of approval. It's what we're doing now with most of the larger events. It's worked fairly well. Everybody gets the same information. The applicant isn't meeting with the police department separately and the fire department separately, so it makes a lot of sense. What we're asking for in terms of payment, again, something that we're currently doing now, we're asking for the permit fee, the use fee, and the deposit up front for the event. Prior to the event happening, those need to be paid. In the conditions of approval, I indicated that we put the fees. I should really rephrase that. We put the anticipated costs. What we think, what the departments think is going to what it's going to cost to oversee this event. I think in most of the cases so far, generally the costs have been less than what was anticipated. So perhaps the fire department was only there for 4 hours instead of 6 hours. What we do after the event is tally all the hours that were spent and provide that in an invoice form to the applicant after the event, so they've got the actual costs of the event. And that's worked fairly well. Other than that, we talked a little bit about some grounds for denial. Pretty basic and straightforward. I can't think of a single permit that we've denied in the last 10 years. For the most part, all our applications have been fairly straightforward. Tonight we're asking, we're having a public hearing. We're asking for comments on this. After we have comments, I'd ask the commission to make any sort of amendments. We'd also like to shoot this by the city department heads. The staff report indicates that we've done that, and we have not yet. So we'd like to get some sort of a super final draft and send that by the department heads, and then the commission may want to see it again in January and then forward on to the council. I think that concludes my staff report. I'm happy to answer. Oh, thank you. We did, we threw it together, and it's even a little rougher than the draft policy is a special events checklist, something that the applicant can go through and indicate, check off to make sure they've got everything turned in, something that might help. This was in, I think, a couple of other special event applications that you looked at had checklists, and we're trying to, again, provide something or provide things so the applicant is very clear what they need to provide and make it easier for both the applicant as well as the city. I think now that concludes my staff report. I'm happy to answer questions, and if you have no questions, you should open up for public comment.
Okay, that's fine. Before we take questions, I was going to open it up, if that's fine with the commissioners.
Yeah, I have one other thing that just kind of popped in my mind when I'm reading through here, that an organization cannot apply more than a year in advance. And suppose we have an organization that does an annual event.
What page are you on?
Let's see. Yeah. General Policies, Part 3. It says submitted at
page
least...
Page 1 or page 2?
Page 1. Must be submitted 90 days in advance, but no more than 1 year.
Yeah.
So what I'm thinking could possibly happen is, say an organization sponsors a car show on a regular basis, but somebody else comes in, does a permit before they have the opportunity to get their permit in. Would we have a priority basis there? Do you see where I'm going with that?
Wouldn't they just file it? Let's pretend they have it every year in May. They have their car show in May. They file it that weekend, I mean,
well,
with the check that they're...
But suppose another organization comes in prior to their permit.
You mean like a
request.
Standing one? Like they're always...
Like
the 4th of
kind
July.
Of a standing.
Like the 4th
yeah,
of
fourth
July.
Of July. Somebody else goes down and rents Tidelands Park on the 4th of July. And then the community's out.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, maybe a standing
right.
for some of the regular events. I'm not sure how to phrase that, though.
Yeah, I like the idea. It's just...
But this is more discussion than
yeah.
questions.
Yeah.
Right, so...
Yes, this is
right.
this is a discussion.
For the Harbor Festival and those things,
mm-hmm.
right?
You're absolutely correct. The master fee schedule is set. We're not amending the master fee schedule.
So if someone has a problem with the fees, they should go to the city council and say, we have a problem with the fees,
right,
and we'd like to change the
You're
fees.
You're correct. And the fees have been in existence for, 18 months at least, the fees that we're charging now.
Thank you.
Thank you for that clarification, Stan. Can we open any other questions, comments before we open it? We'll bring it back to the commissioners. But I'd like to open up for members of the audience wishing to address the commission on this public hearing item. May do so at this time. We ask generally the comments be limited to 3 minutes. And then when you address it, if you could just state your name so we have that information.
We can wait.
There's two switches.
Probably the first time that I've had to raise a microphone to speak. I'm Ken Vesterfeld, citizen of Morro Bay. Actually, right now you've confused me more than anything else, probably because of the lack of my investigation on what is taking place. It has been pretty well the understanding that some fees are going to rise for certain occasions. And by the way, I'm speaking as a citizen. I'm not speaking as a car show or a chamber of commerce or a volunteer for the Merchants' Fair. One of the issues is that it is an understanding that maybe the fees are going to rise for these events. Most of the events that I can think of in Morro Bay are volunteer, non-profit organization, which also includes the Harbor Festival, which gives to, I don't know, 30, 40, I'm not quite sure how many non-volunteer groups that are there. And I was thinking at a time that when actually everybody knows that the city of Morro Bay is not financially straight yet, it looks like we are going to see some horizons there, is that at a time when we should be coming together, it seems that we might have some more monetary values put on those organizations that bring in thousands and thousands of dollars to this city. For instance, putting out barricades for the Harbor Festival, for the car show, for the Merchants' Fair, can all be put out during business hours. Why do we turn around and want to charge to put those things out when the city should be helping to cooperate with these entities that bring in those monies into the city? I have no idea what you can even claim for what is brought into the city for the Harbor Festival. I have no real studies that can tell you about the car show. Involuntarily, we have asked, and the average person or the couple will spend over $1,000 for the car show. So you got 550 cars or 500 cars. That's a minimum of $500,000 that comes into the city, comes into the TOT, comes into the small portion of the sales tax we have. So I'm hoping that as we go along, that there's not a big influx of fees for these events, these non-profit organizations that come into the city and help bring the people in. I thoroughly agree as the second thought about getting your permit in as early as possible. That really helps the staff, it helps the fire, the police that all organize these things. The sooner you get it in, as I have known in the past, if you put your stuff in late, or considerably late, there could be some confusion. So the earlier you get your permit in, the easier it is for the city to help cooperate. So I basically wanted to come up here and hopefully think that we are not going to see an increase in the fees that are have been so far structured. So if you can help me out in your discussions in telling us exactly what some fees would be. On a second note, with the increase of things that happen, here in 2005, unofficially, I'm hearing that the Harbor Festival may not be in existence because of insurance fees and fees that were brought on by the city. Yes, we do have to have some authorities there, but it's the cooperation between the city and all these nonprofit groups that bring thousands and thousands of people into the city. So I appreciate this in your deliberation. And I appreciate all you being here, especially you, Joan. Thank you. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Ken.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Angie Miller, and I'm the fair coordinator for the Merchants Association, Morro Bay Merchants Association fair, which we have two a year. We have we had a bundle of people and a lot of vendors, and a lot of vendors that want to come back again. And I'd like to be on the list, you know, as somebody that you notify when you decide who you're going to raise the fees for, and also what that includes. The electricity on the street is completely a no-no. I mean, none of the vendors could really use that electricity, so we were borrowing electricity from the merchants who were already on the street, and that worked out very nicely. So hopefully we didn't blow any circuit breakers. You know, and I cannot reset them. Yeah. My son's an electronic engineer. So anyway, please let me know what's up and when and how long, because this is going to be an ongoing thing, and I think we should have the more the merrier. The bigger it gets, the better it is for the city. And I'm in the process right now of finding some hotel people who will lower their rates so that the vendors don't stay in San Luis Obispo or in Atascadero. Stay here in Morro Bay. And I, so far I've managed for one. We're getting there. But let me know, okay?
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Angie.
Hi, good evening. My name is James Davis, and I am a member of the board of directors of the Morro Bay Harbor Festival. I served 2 years. I'm in my second year of service. I currently serve as the secretary. Some comments were made about the festival and the impact that the fees have had on the festival. I just want to voice our experience as a board and the frustrations we've had and the impact that the fees have had and the process of the fees on the festival this year. We found out the exact amount of the fees approximately 5 weeks, the fourth week of August, before the festival. The festival, of course, was the first and second of October. It's always the first weekend in October. And because we found out so late what the fees would be, that was extremely difficult. The fees amounted to almost $20,000, specifically $8,500 in city services and $9,500 in an insurance policy that the board felt we did not have to take out because we'd had an agreement with the Morro Bay Rotary Club. And we felt that it was not legal for the city to ask us to take out an insurance policy when we could use the Rotary Club's insurance policy. Because we were made aware that 5 weeks before the start of the festival, we did not have adequate time to research that, to get legal representation. Consequently, the festival is in the red this year. We're approximately $20,000 in the red of bills that we need to come up with some fundraisers to pay. The continuation of the festival for the 25th year is very much in doubt. I'm not just here throwing out doom and gloom reports. I'm giving you the straight facts. The fees that were imposed on the festival were an extreme hardship to the festival this year. The $8,500 services and the $9,500 for insurance fees, almost $20,000 total. So the amount of the fees, the requirement in the insurance, questionable fees that we had to pay, and also the fact that we found out about the exact amount 5 weeks before the festival left us in a position where we could not do any fundraising 5 weeks before the festival itself, getting ready for the festival to take place. My concern is not just for the Harbor Festival, although I do represent that organization. It's for other groups that have events in the city. the Merchants Festival, the car show, and possibly other ones. We want to make sure on behalf of those different festivals that the city, that the commission recognize the amount of income that is brought in by those events. Secondly, the Harbor Festival is a nonprofit organization. We're not connected with the city. We're a private, nonprofit festival. And the benefits, as Ken mentioned earlier, 30 to 40 local nonprofit organizations stretching throughout the county, Cal Poly, Morro Bay, a lot of youth organizations, nonprofits benefit from the festival. We're having difficulties not only paying the city, but also paying all of the volunteers. I would like a thorough review of how the fees are communicated to the organizations. Our experience this year was very poor, and we're very concerned about the financial difficulties that's left the festival in, and the fact that we may not be able to continue.
Could there be, or has there ever been, the thought of having some kind of amended form for events or event coordinators that would, on their own, have volunteers or their own people set up barricades or handle traffic flow or other kind of city services, and, you know, or possibly some kind of consideration for nonprofits? I'm not sure.
Perhaps what we need to do is make it clear in our permit application that one of the purposes of the meeting that we have after we assign the initial conditions of approval is to look at ways, one, to clarify conditions, but are there ways that organizations can take care of these costs where the city doesn't have to? I think the 4th of July is an excellent event, or an excellent example of that. We met with the 4th of July organizers prior to the event and were successful in reducing a number of their costs because they had volunteers that were willing to perform certain services. Certain services can be performed by volunteers and certain can't. I think it's also important to know that the City Council has given the staff clear direction, very clear direction, that costs will be recuperated. City costs will be recuperated, so that's not something that this department or this commission is really making a decision on. It's been clear direction from our council as a result of our budget situation. Is it unfortunate? Sure, it's unfortunate. But we've gotten clear direction, and as a result of that direction, we're fine-tuning our special event policy so we can better deal with the people that come in for applications.
Yes, Johnny.
So on the the city fees and insurance fees, those are really just like what you said, because of the costs we had to raise them. And were they put in like some kind of flyer problem, or did we find out later to not inform them that they were going up?
I'm not sure I understand your question.
That's kind of a two-parter. So the fees went up because they had to, like our costs.
Yeah, actually, the fees didn't go up. What ended up happening is the city is ending up recouping costs for their services. So that's things like police officers and fire department and public services staff and recreation and parks staff if they're doing something. So yeah, when the city council passed their budget back in June, they were very clear that we will recoup, the city will recoup their costs on these permits. The insurance requirement has been longstanding that groups need to provide liability insurance when they're renting city facilities.
Okay, and then the other part was when these fees have to go up that way, did we give some kind of notification in advance to the applicants that they would go up, or just when they turned it in, we said, oh, this year they're this much?
When they turned in their applications, we did, yes. We didn't do advance notice.
Okay.
Questions? Discussion?
I've got a couple of things to discuss. When we get down to event payment for city services, now I can understand the city recouping the salaries for the police and the fire or maintenance city park employees. What I can't understand charging people for such things as trucks, loaders, mowers that the city owns and that the taxpayers have already paid for. And I really have a big problem with that. I don't think that's right. The same thing with the barricades. I think if they want to put them out. If we provide an employee to put them out, then they should pay the employee. But I don't think they should have to pay for these barricades when they're bringing thousands of people into the city to provide funding for all sorts of things. So that's the main comment I have.
Can I make a comment on that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Andrea, I have a question for you regarding that. Is that done because of the insurance thing? Once they rent it, they're also purchasing an insurance policy on it? And if so, would it be possible for them to rent it for, say, a dollar?
No, it's basically the thought behind that is that if they're using a piece of equipment, it's not available for city use. So it's something that's been typically done in other situations. Certainly, if the commission is feeling like their recommendation should be that that's something the city can't recoup, certainly we can take that recommendation to the council. I will point out, because barricades is always such a hot issue, that we currently do not charge anything for the use of the city barricades. It's something that we've just lent out, and much to the Public Services Department dismay, we continue to do that. So there's not a current charge for barricades, but there is a cost for things like loaders and dump trucks and that sort of thing.
Well, I would like to suggest that we definitely ask
process to get all the hours back. So we try not to, we try not to do 3 weeks after the event. Generally, it's within 4 weeks that we try to get the invoice out.
Okay. So there's no reason to have that in the document? You wouldn't feel you wouldn't feel better if that was in the document or not?
A date certain for payment?
So 60 days later?
Certainly we can put it in, as long as it's a little bit...
If it doesn't matter, would it help?
It might help. Or just that the invoice will be paid when it's presented or within 30 days after presented or something like that.
Well, I'd like to recommend that that's put in somewhere, too.
Anything else?
That's all I have.
Okay.
I have a question. So
yes, John.
So just to clarify on Stan's question, as far as using the equipment and stuff, we would just want to charge for the employees.
For the employees.
And not the stuff. Which would you look at?
Currently, if you have a city employee that's driving the dump truck, we are currently charging the applicant for the city employee as well as the dump truck, and what I hear the commission making a recommendation on is, yes, it's important to charge for the city employee, or what I hear from a couple of commissioners is, yes, it's important to charge for the city employee, but we're not interested in recouping the cost of the equipment. And I should mention that certainly, if we, when we take this to the council, what we'll probably do is make that a separate recommendation because the council has already indicated to staff that they want to recoup those costs. So that would probably be a second portion, and then depending on what the council did with that, we put it in our policy or leave it out because they've currently made a decision on that.
Well, I'd like to say that they've already recouped the cost since they bought the equipment. It's already been paid for. But anyway.
Johnny,
it might save them some money.
Oh, that's all.
I kind of agree with Stan and on that issue of the equipment. We're talking about organizations that are part of the city, and the city equipment is certainly something that we can give them a break on using. I'm kind of going that direction too. It's getting very expensive to run events, and when they're benefiting the city, that I'm reading on our packet here, the mission statement of the City of Morro Bay. The City of Morro Bay is dedicated to the preservation and enhancement of our quality of life. Those events are part of that quality of life. And at some point, the city itself has to step up to the plate and provide some of that participation. And I know we've done it in the past, and we're kind of tight on money right now, but it's certainly, I think, bringing money into the community that these organizations do brings it back. When I looked at the boat parade this past weekend, people were leaving the city at 6:30. I don't think they'll come back next year. And I don't know how much that generates as far as income and revenue, but it does bring people to the community, and they might come back again. So equipment, if that helps reduce the bill a little bit.
So could I make a motion that we just take out the last line of Section B of Article 5?
I'll second that.
Yeah. But we can do it. We're discussing the policy.
Yeah.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Did you get that part, Andrea?
I did. Thank you.
Okay. No, I agree with Stan on that.
I'm going back to my previous discussion of priority of use for any organization having an event already on the books, so to speak, and I certainly don't want a group that's done the Harbor Festival for a number of years to miss out because somebody else got a permit to do something else down there at the same time and got it in ahead of schedule. So I'm not sure how you could grandfather that in or, you know, ongoing events. I'm just not sure how to phrase that.
Could we perhaps say with an ongoing event that they have to let the city know that that they have the date?
There's
unless they let the city, that they have an intention, but if they don't let the city know within 90 days or something after the event that they are going to have the event, or 6 months?
For the same week or the same date, or we'll play around with that, those organizations must notify the city within 90 days of the conclusion of their previous event, something like that, of their intent. Those organizations must inform
a letter of intent
the city of their intent.
And you should make it the two previous years, not just 2 years, probably.
Yeah. Oh, that has to be consecutive. Yeah.
Okay. Hold on one sec. The intent.
So I'll second it if that's the motion.
Can she make the motion?
How about organizations who have had events for 2 consecutive years have priority for the same date in the prior year or the following year?
Forthcoming.
Those organizations must inform the city of their intent within 90 days following their last event. What do you think?
That sounds good.
Okay.
So you're good.
I'm sorry. Can you read that again?
That wasn't clear. Well, I was writing and reading. Organizations who have had events for 2 consecutive years have priority for the same date in the following year, period. The organization must inform the city of their intent within 90 days following their last event.
For the next year.
For the subsequent year.
Yeah. But you might want to be careful using dates because, for example, the Harbor Festival is the first weekend of October. That can be the first and second. It can be the third and fourth. It can be the fifth and sixth.
Good point. Date/date.
Yeah, date or week date, whatever. You might want to be careful with the word date.
Okay.
So is that your motion, Joan? Did you make that motion?
Sounds good, huh, Joan?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll accept Joan's motion.
I'll
do we have a second? Stand second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? So that part passes, so.
The other discussion I have is I'm not sure that there's anything we can do about fees at this point in time. Certainly, I think the organizations and their participants, organizers, need to take this to City Council such that they can bring it back to us and we can revisit that. I don't think there's anything that we can do at this point in time. I do recall a number of years when fees went up for different rec programs, and there was a policy adopted to discount those fees based on benefit to the community. And I think that might be a direction to approach, because it is a benefit to the community, and if the organization can, document that to city council and say, we're bringing this back and we get a break on the amount we're being charged, especially for nonprofits as opposed to any commercial organization, I think that's an approach that might be taken. Take it to city council, please. We want those events to happen.
Commission, can we go backwards for 1 minute?
Yeah.
The motion that you just made, would you like that to go under the general policies section?
Yes.
Of this document?
Yes.
As
yes.
Number?
Letter H.
Okay. Thank you.
Were you done, Greg?
Yes. I'm
okay.
Talking.
Thank you. Johnny had a question.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but just for clarification from my part, James made a statement that the city charges $8,500 for services. Now, did we, not used to charge the full amount that they put out there? Is that why, or did the city just get an increase? Or
The city, oh boy, let's go way back. At one point, the Harbor Festival was a City of Morro Bay event. Back when I started with the city in 1986-87, it was actually a city event. It went to the Harbor Fest. The Harbor Festival was then started, and I don't have the exact dates. And they became a nonprofit organization, and they operated on their own. I believe, and perhaps Mr. Davis can help out, I believe that the Harbor Festival has been charged for police costs for at least a couple of years, and I don't know the total of those costs. This was the first year that the additional costs were advised to the city concerning our risk, said you need to have groups that run your city facilities provide liability insurance, naming the city as additional insured, because we feel that's a risk for you. That became something that the city started doing about 5 years ago, and it became clear to us at that point that there was some difficulty for organizations that didn't have insurance, didn't have ongoing insurance, but needed to get liability insurance. Or for you who wanted to rent the hall for your wedding reception, but your homeowner's insurance isn't going to suffice. So the city works with a couple of different organizations that provide liability insurance. And the city basically for events like the Harbor Festival, they fill out a lengthy application about what they're doing, what the risk is. This company reviews the risk and then lets them know what the premium is. Basically, the city passes on exactly the cost of the premium. The city doesn't make money from this. It passes on the cost of the premium because based on what happens at the Harbor Festival and the risk that is involved there, the insurance premium was approximately $8,500.
So then, Greg was saying, that's something I guess that you'd have to go before city council to see if they could change. So, okay, thank you, Andrea, for that.
Andrea, I have a question. Do you you charge the nonprofits the same as the for-profit groups?
No, we've got a master fee schedule, and basically we've got nonprofits are the least cost for permits. We have nonprofits, then we have resident groups, then we have non-resident groups, then we have profit-making groups. So if you're a profit-making group, you'll pay significantly more. And that's across the board with fees in parks, fees for public use, and fees for facilities. And that's something that this commission worked on and we forwarded to City Council as we felt that it was a fair and equitable way. Certainly, we need to recover basic costs of room use when we're talking about rooms. And then, of course, for your profit-making organizations, the costs are substantially more.
But in that fee schedule, we did not address the insurance issue.
The insurance requirements have been in the master fee schedule for some time, the fact that we require liability insurance. And there, at one point, I think we have even have estimates on what the liability insurance would cost. Mm-hmm. But because each event that needs liability insurance is different, a birthday party with just cake and ice cream is in the insurance world is much less of a risk, although as a parent I'm not sure, than a barbecue with alcohol and live music.
Yeah, as I recall, the issue of the alcohol raised the...
You're correct.
Premium.
Alcohol, live music are a couple of big ones, or skydiving, or you know, rock climbing walls, those types of things. Things that tend to get the insurance eyebrows up.
Thanks.
Any other questions?
I have a question about that insurance thing. So let me get this straight. I just want to understand this because I run a business. James and the Harbor Festival are required to have a blanket umbrella. Their $8,500 umbrella. Each vendor who passes through and pays to have a booth to have their rock climbing wall or their skydiving event or serve their alcohol, whatever, beer or wine, are required also to have an insurance policy. Are they not?
Our requirements are that the Harbor Festival, as the event organizer, fills out their permit and they indicate everything that they're doing, and the insurance provides coverage for the Harbor Festival event. If additional if individuals have their own liability insurance, that's not something we check on. We're just asking the Harbor Festival as the event organizer to name the city as additional insured. So we're not looking at the hot dog vendor and other individuals as having additional policies. That's not a requirement that we're asking. We're looking at the event organizer and then encompassing the event, everything that they're doing. Hence the long, it's probably 15 pages of information that the insurance company requires to provide how many days, how many people, that
so
sort of thing.
So in order for him to recoup his cost, he would have to raise that booth rental for the beer guy or whatever, whoever he is. And they would turn that back to the consumer. Okay.
Anything else from the commissioners? Questions? So do we want to... What we're still waiting for is input from the department heads, or...
Why don't we... I know our recommendation is to pass this on tonight, but why don't we ship this out? Because they certainly might have some input based on the fact that they're the group that provide conditions of approval. I think they'll be relatively happy because I've been working with them for a long time on the permits, but I'm happy to pass that on and you can take a look at it and we can forward it on. I think we're going to get a little bit easy on this one because if you would be willing to hold off on our facilities and parks permit or report, only because we had a little trauma with our numbers based on our how we put it together and how we send it. You were probably worrisome that our October was fairly skinny, and it wasn't. So I think I would like to just focus on our recreational sports numbers. You can see that we're slightly down in participation, 15,000 participations, 15,007 year-to-date. Last year was 17,007. Predominantly, we're looking at things like Adult Softball League. Our youth soccer numbers were slightly down. Again, we'll be bringing back to you a report on our participation and what we think about the tides. Not really concerned at this point with our numbers. I think we're not seeing a significant decrease. Our youth basketball numbers, though, are a little telltale. So we'll go for a couple more months and then come back to you. I am happy to answer any questions if you have them on this report. And with that will be the sole participation report I provide to you this evening.
Are there any questions from the commissioners? Okay, then should we accept this for file?
Please.
Motion to accept reports, recreational sports for file.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Moving on to senior representative report, I turn the time over to Leva.
I have no report this month because their meeting's next week.
Okay, that goes pretty fast. Next item, commissioner reports. Any reports from any of the commissioners? Oh, I'm sorry, Leva.
For
commissioners? Okay. Leva.
I've been the commission's representative on the Estero Bay Youth Coalition since its existence, so I don't know how long that's been, many, many years. And they've changed their meeting to Wednesday morning at 7:30, and I can't attend at that time. I have a conflict. So I'm going to drop out of that, and if any other commissioner would like to attend, I'm sure they would be happy to have another representative. They focus on trying to get activities for youth to keep them away from drugs and alcohol.
How often do they meet?
Once a month, the first Wednesday of the month.
Possibly we can bring this back after, say, February, when there are maybe new members on the board.
Okay.
Or maybe not.
And when some of us may commit to more.
Any other commissioner reports?
I'd like to mention one thing that I don't believe has been brought up here, but that the Helping Hands organization, Grace Melton, has put a reading corner in the teen center, and it's several hundred dollars worth of new books that she placed in there, and I think she's still purchasing books to keep them updated, and I think it's a great thing.
Thank you, Commissioner House, and I apologize. You're correct. She's bought some fantastic books. Actually, she's talked to staff about what they think that teens would like, and they're fantastic hardback books, all sorts of different things. So thank you for bringing that up.
Thank you. Anything else? Okay. Moving on to, do we have any declarations of future agenda items that weren't touched on in tonight's meeting? Okay. Then I would like to accept, I don't think there's anything else that I'm forgetting, accept a motion for adjournment.
I move that we adjourn.
Second.
Johnny, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?